Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
504-260-1870. Peyton Malone joins us. Peyton, you can play as well. See if you recognize who are you. There are no prizes. There's a competition. I mean, an exhibition, not a competition. We're killing time here, so let's see. See if you can tell me who is this. Two different movies, one actor. Is that? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
Seriously?
Not even a clue.
Really?
Maybe a hint. This is an old movie. This is an 80s movie, no?
Bro, if you're calling a movie from the 80s old, I'm going to hang up on you right now.
Well, 40
movie
years
from
ago.
The 80s. What are you talking about? 40 movie from 35. That's an old movie. You meteorologist, you need to study some film. All right, here we go again. There you go. You've never seen either one of those movies?
I have seen that movie. That's not an older movie. That's like the 90s, isn't it?
Bro, you don't want to say old. You said, what do you like? You said 80s, not me.
Vintage. That is vintage now, technically. Yeah.
Well, I guess so, yeah. Tell me what the weather's going to be like. Tell me how you've been. What you been up to?
I know I haven't talked to you in a while. It's just, you know, same old, same old. It's summertime. There's not much to talk about other than the same heat, humidity, and rain. And that's what we get this weekend. It'll be a little hot, a little humid, and there'll be a little rain.
You think there's nothing for you to talk about? Why do you think I'm playing Ed Harris from two different movies?
I don't know. I'm wondering why you're talking to me at 620. No.
But there you go. The answer would be the same, Peyton. The answer would be one and the same.
Well, that's okay. That's live television. Or live radio
there
in this
go.
Case, I guess.
So, you know, I call August 1st the beginning of pucker season because really, while June 1st is hurricane season, that
yeah,
doesn't
but August is the month, yeah.
August is the month, and then September is where, you know, that's where it's like the maybe we'll be okay, maybe we won't.
It's that. And, you know, we're going to be okay for the first weekend, I can guarantee you that much. Probably the first full week of August, I don't see any problems. Things have been kind of slow the past month or so. We have not had a storm since Chantal, and that was way back in early July. Things are quiet. How long does it stay? You know, history and looking at the data, I think the tropics are going to start to perk up by the middle of this month. But that's just kind of the general thinking
now. I don't know. They're telling me now that you got to go. How much time do you have? Do you know?
I got a couple minutes,
All right, so let me know about Sahara and Dustin, what's going on with that, and is that still our friend or not?
It's always our friend, yeah. There's some of it out there. It's keeping things dry and dusty, and so for now, not a whole lot going on out there. It's a really stable atmosphere, too. These tropical waves haven't been able to survive, and so it'll probably stay that way for the next week or so. We may have a little homegrown system here and there with, like, old cold front spinning up some weak lows, but those don't yield anything significant or strong.
When it comes to the Pacific, why are they having such a more active season in the Pacific than we are? Is there a reason for that? Is there a yin and a yang to that? Does it eventually shift over to us?
That's exactly what happens. When the Pacific is active, we've got all this rising air over that direction. It's just more hospitable. The Atlantic's the opposite, which is what we're in right now. Mm-hmm. But once we get into the middle of August, there's signs that maybe that starts to translate more into the Atlantic side of the basin. And that's typically how these things go. It's cyclical. It's a slow-moving kind of weather pattern that travels across the globe here.
So it's cause and effect, Peyton, where because it's busy in the Pacific, as a result, then whatever's going on over there moves over here or not? I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, that's it. And so think of it this way. You got a lot of rising air in the Pacific right now, which is leading to showers and storms, which turn into storms over there. All that rising air has to go somewhere and sink. And where is it sinking? It's sinking over the Atlantic basin. And so that's suppressing showers and storms. Those can't form. Mm-hmm. Now, this thing travels slowly in the upper levels of the atmosphere across the equilateral portion of the globe near the equator. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, that will try to migrate very slowly towards the Atlantic. It's just trying to predict when exactly that happens. That's more difficult.
And then we would be talking about development in the Gulf and the Caribbean as opposed to off a wave off of
the Pacific.
But I'm talking about what moves from the Pacific. We'd be talking about then development in the Caribbean or the Gulf as opposed to off the coast of Africa?
Well, that's kind of all tied together, the Gulf Coast, Caribbean, and Africa. I think we would lump that all in. And the Pacific would be its own thing, too. So,
You think that's all one thing? You should get a map.
Well, no. But listen, buddy. No.
Because, you know, as I understood it, there were different areas. No, I'm just teasing.
And that's another thing. The Atlantic's a big basin, so maybe the open waters are more active, and it's a little bit quieter closer to home. That's, you know, sometimes you get in those hurricane seasons where it's really busy, but it ain't busy here. So
maybe 7 days out, good, Peyton? We can relax for 7 to 10 days
yeah,
out?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the Hurricane Center is watching this old cold front off the East Coast later this weekend and early next week. But nothing
for us or for the East Coast?
Probably the East Coast, nothing significant for us. Yeah.
I'm worried about 7 to 10 days. Give me the all clear or not?
I'll give you 7 days. I'm not doing 10. Whew, you think I'm that good?
Take us to August 8th. Well, I'll take it. Thank you, Peyton. I appreciate
it, man.
Y'all
have a good weekend.
You're always there. You too. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Peyton Malone, WWL Louisiana forecaster. Maybe next time the band will show up. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to, let me put it this way, as I used to say on the old Carson show, scheduled to appear on the award shows, David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. We'll talk about President Trump's economic agenda and how he's doing in the courts and in the court of public opinion. Right now, time for WWO First News. Oh, thank God he's here. Ian Ozan. August 1st, first day of pucker season as it relates to hurricane season, because that's when we really get into the shank of it. Peyton Malone, WWL Louisiana forecaster, giving us the all clear for the next 7 days. So all we can do is take it 7 days at a time. Somebody texted in and said, keep in mind GDP is up. There is no recession. Inflation has not gone out of control, but I'll bet your next guest is going to cast a doubt on it all. He should try to be a bit more optimistic. Apparently, there's a big Trump fan that is firing a preemptive shot. Well, the only thing I can say is I don't recall inflation not going out of control as being a campaign promise. But we'll see. David Schultz joins us now, professor of political science at Hamline University. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am well, and I hope you are too.
I am. The only reason I read that text is it seems like rather than, and look, I had Bill Cassidy on yesterday, and I'm drilling him and asking him, wait a minute. Y'all have been telling me for years and years that Biden could change insurance rates with an executive order and criticizing him for that. President Trump loves executive orders. Why hasn't he done anything? Well, it's not as simple as that. Well, and it couldn't have been as simple as that for Biden. I don't care if it's Biden. I don't care if it's Trump. I'm just trying to figure out what's true and what's not. Some people have a candidate, and then they take the candidate, and then from there try to justify everything that happens. I don't care who the candidate is. I look at everything that happens.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
And then go back and see, well, is it working? Is it not? How's it affecting me? How's it affecting the country? So with that being said, tell me what the latest polls say about President Trump, his economic agenda. He said, the President Trump himself said that people said tariffs wouldn't work, but they are working. I have no earthly idea if they're working or not. Tell me what the polls are saying and jump in where you feel comfortable, David Schultz.
Okay. If we're just talking about the tariffs, the polls, and we're looking at a variety of range of them, you know, a lot of different polls out there, majority of the American public does not support the tariffs at this point. And they're concerned about, you know, what impact it may have on inflation. And when you also look at polls among business leaders, you know, companies that are hiring and like that, there's a lot of uncertainty there regarding the polls. Now, notice how I'm phrasing it here in terms of saying a lot of uncertainty. The public, you know, in polls don't like it, and they're worried about what's going to happen. And that's probably the best statement to say at this point right now, is that do we know exactly what the impact of the poll or the poll, I mean, of the tariffs are going to be? We don't know yet at this point. You know, it's you know, on any given day, you know, the tariffs are on or tariffs are off. I don't know if you saw like what today's paper, yesterday's paper. Now that possibly there's going to be tariffs on again in Canada. I thought they were off. And so it's just all over the map at this point. But it's clearly created a situation where there's a lot of anxiety. And again, just in general, the polls are suggesting that the public and the business community doesn't support them.
As it relates to the economic impact of tariffs. And again, this goes to what you're saying, because people are texting in about the stock market's doing fine, which it is. And again, look, to be fair, and I know you're not an economist, but the economy consists of a lot of different things, right? It's inflation, it's the stock market, it's prices, it's jobs, et cetera, et cetera. When it comes to the president's approval rating overall, what are the numbers showing?
Well, the approval rating now is that it's in the low 40s. It's fairly low compared to where most presidents are, usually, what, 6 to 7 months out. And so at this point, you could say that he's underwater at this point. More people disapprove of his performance than approve, and he's clearly gone down since Election Day. That's one thing. The second thing, the way I describe it to my students when I try to talk about the economy, and this is how I made my argument about Biden and Harris, you know, last year, is that Wall Street may be doing really well. Main Street being the reference to where businesses are, may or may not be doing well. But what I said last year is that Elm Street referring to like where people live, like on Elm Street or Maple Street. Mm-hmm. Last year, people were saying, gosh, Biden's saying the economy's great, or Harris saying it's great. Maybe it's good on Wall Street. Maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay on Main Street. But gosh, on Elm Street, I'm seeing milk, bread, and eggs go up. And that's what I try to explain to people. Is we have to think about lots of different components. The investors on Wall Street may be thrilled to death. Some businesses may or may not be happy, but how is it impacting you? You know, are you seeing how the tariffs are affecting you, or how the prices are affecting you when you go to the store and buy what? Milk, bread, and eggs. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to think across those different dimensions here. And many people are thinking in terms of how it's affecting them on Maple Street or Elm Street, wherever it is like that. And I don't hear a lot of people saying to me, boy, the price of eggs has gone down, or what was it the other day? I saw something to the effect of we're at a record prices for beef in this country. So go out and buy a pound of hamburger or a steak, how expensive it is. And so I just bring that up here, making your point about the complexity of making statements about the economy.
Yeah, I don't even shop in the beef section because I don't want people to think I'm rich and mug me in the parking lot on the way out. I just keep walking past that. But what I would like to hear from people at 504-260-1870, the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line, don't ever text and drive, is how has the Trump presidency affected you? Because as you talk about Elm Street or Oak Street or wherever you live, I don't know that it's affected me at all. I'm thinking about just me, Tommy Tucker, personally. I don't think it's affected me personally at all. I just recently bought a new vehicle, but the price of those has always been high and continues to go up. I buy the same groceries pretty much over and over. The interest rate on the house is fixed. I don't carry any credit card debt, but I'm an anomaly. I'm past 50 and I live alone, so I don't have kids in school and all that kind of stuff. So I would like to ask the audience here at 504-260-1870, as people text in and say polls are wrong, this, that, the same two numbers always text in are very pro-Donald Trump, and that's fine. This is America. Everybody can be for whomever they want. But I would like to ask the audience, as David mentions Elm Street, how has President Trump's presidency affected you? Positively, negatively, or not at all? And I would say for me, the answer is not at all. Because I don't know that the immigration policies affected me at all. I don't know that the Epstein thing has affected me at all. You can get all lathered up about this or about that. But when it comes to affecting your personal life, I don't know. Other than the big, beautiful bill that increased debt and deficit that my kid's probably going to have to wind up paying for. But as far as me, I don't know that it affected me at all. 651, text me. Let me know what you think. 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:55, 5 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, about President Trump and how he's affected your life. And I guess I could say that he did change my life, and that I think he's made the world a little bit safer place with the Iran thing, because it seems like we went with that, David, from we shouldn't bomb Iran because we don't know if they have nuclear facilities, to we didn't bomb them enough. So some of the questions that are coming in, for me, not at all. I'm doing well in the stock market, but I was doing well under Biden. I'm paying a lot at the grocery store, but I was paying a lot under Biden. Somebody else said, His policies are what I want near sanity in the White House again. Let's talk about what's going on with the courts. And now we've covered the court of public opinion. What are the courts saying about the president's different actions when it comes to immigration, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, when it comes to, for example, the birthright citizenship issue, we had the Supreme Court decision a couple of months ago that said that we're not going to address the issue on merits, but judges can't issue what's called nationwide injunctions. Since then, we've had a court certify a class action suit, which basically means it's representing everybody who's potentially affected by that decision and has issued an injunction. So in terms of the birthright citizenship, that's working its way through the courts. A lower court, I think the Court of Appeals, has said that his executive order is unconstitutional, but that's sort of working its way through. But on multiple scores, what we're finding is that in the same way that when Biden issued lots of executive orders and the courts said, you know, you can't do those things in terms of executive orders, Congress needs to step in. We're finding that there's a lot of situations where the federal courts are saying the same thing about Donald Trump and saying that you lack that authority to be able to do it. And the reason why I mention this, and this is a longer discussion, by the way, that I have with my students, mm-hmm. there are some types of executive orders on some subjects where presidents do have a lot of leeway, and there's some areas where presidents don't have a lot of leeway, and it really is up to Congress. And again, trying to sort that out in a short period of time here, which areas would be complex. And what the courts are generally saying right now, as they said with Biden, is that in some areas, when the law is clear, you have authority to act. In areas where the law doesn't allow you to act, you can't. And that's really what the courts are saying at this point, is that oftentimes the courts are reminding the president that how a bill becomes a law is what? Congress passes it. You have to then sign it into the law. You just can't bypass that process. It's kind of what? Civics 101.
Yeah, I'm not a Trump. Let me phrase it this way. I don't like the way he carries himself. I didn't before he was a politician. I don't now. But that doesn't mean that everything he does as president is wrong. And it doesn't mean that everything he does as president is right. So I try to evaluate that objectively. But with that being said, as it relates to the executive orders, he's just doing what Congress is allowing him to do, right? I mean, you can't, in a way, I mean, you can't blame him, can you? And this goes back to Obama with the executive orders, where if Congress is going to cede it to the that branch of government, I think that's what you just said, is ceding that power to the presidency, because for elective reasons or whatever it is, they don't want to get involved. So it's like, go ahead, take the power. And that's what the presidents are doing, whatever the president is. Accurate?
Exactly. Yeah. The way I describe it is, it's not so much that Trump is taking power, as Congress is, like you said, ceding it and just not doing its job. And at the end of the day, you know, whether it's Biden, whether it's Trump, whether it's Obama, I want Congress to do its job.
Yep.
And that's what our framers designed the system for.
Real quick, we only have 30 seconds left. There's a story in today's paper about what senatorial candidate Trump is going to endorse, if it's Cassidy or somebody else. How long are the president's coattails when it comes to the midterms?
Again, mixed record we've seen from his first time as presidency. Same thing will probably be here, too. Mixed record.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. David Schultz, have a good weekend. Professor of Political Science at Hamline University. We come back, we're going to talk to Barry Irwin, Chief Policy Officer for Leaders for a Better Louisiana, about Louisiana and some strong economic gains across the board. We'll break down that report. Then we'll talk to Haas, Mike Haas, Voice of the Saints. Get a training camp report from him. A lot coming up Friday morning. Stay with us. Oh, and it's Show Tune Friday, WWL.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.